Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, your word said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bring us to that place. And therefore, Lord, we would say unto you that you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our God. Father, in you will we trust. And surely, Lord, you shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You shall cover us with your feathers, and under your wings shall we trust. Your truth, Lord, shall be our shield and buckler. For we will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waits us at noonday. 1,000 fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. For only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made you our Lord, who is our refuge, and our Most High God, our habitation. And there shall no evil befall us, and neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For, Lord, you shall give your angels charge over us to keep us in all your ways. And they shall bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. And by the authority given us by Jesus Christ after the order of the Son of God, we shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shall we trample under our feet. Because, Lord, you have set your love upon us. Therefore, you will deliver us. You will set us on high because you have known our name. And we shall call upon you, Lord, and you will answer us. You will be with us in trouble. You will deliver us and honor us. And with long life would you satisfy us and show us your salvation. And therefore, tonight, Lord God, let your spirit release the light and understanding of your word unto us this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. God bless you all once again on this blessed Thursday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And hey, I'm grateful and thankful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has opened the door, opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. And I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address of God's Word to Man at gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. Thank God once again for the blessed Word of God. And once again, I must start out today saying unto you, first of all, who are first-time listeners, who probably, perhaps you was going along on the internet and you happen to come across this page here. God has blessed this night for you to be here. There's something I want to say, or I need to say to you. I've been commissioned of the Lord to say to you, and to also of those of you who have been listening, okay, you need to hear this also. First of all, the Lord wants you to know that he is speaking a modern day word today. And once again, as I said many times before, some of you may have even heard people preach or possibly call themselves teaching that Christ spoke back in the days before, but he's not speaking today. Well, I'm here to tell you that whoever's teaching or preaching that you heard was dead wrong. Apostle Paul told us in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means that if he spoke back in the days of old, as they say, then he is speaking today. Amen? Praise be to God. The second thing I need to run by you is that God wants you to know is that he is doing a work in these last days. He is doing a work in these last days. Now, the reason why I am beginning to tell you this is because I know that some of you are looking at what is happening in the world today. You see so much turmoil, so much contention, so much strife, to take it even deeper, even among the churches, even among people who are claiming to be believers and followers of Jesus Christ. You're seeing them fighting and going against one another, and you're seeing all that the devil is doing, and you're like, where's God? I mean, God, where you at? What are you doing? I mean, what's going on? Okay? And it has gotten to a point that you're starting to fall into the realm of unbelief, that thinking that God is not doing anything. Well, God wants you to know he is doing the work in these last days. And if you will go to him in prayer, he'll reveal this thing to you, which brings me to the next thing he has me to share with you, is that the work that he's doing in these last days, one of the things that is referred to as the work of restoring. And he is doing it through the sending of his Elijah, his angel, the resurrected John the Baptist that has been mentioned in Matthew chapter 17 and Malachi chapter 4, that you can go back and see it and read it for yourself and ask God about it for yourself. But the Lord Jesus Christ has been sending his angel, the Elijah, the none other than the resurrected John the Baptist. And one of the things he is commissioned to do is to restore all things. Amen. To restore all things. Jesus had been sending him with his word to give to mankind, and they that will be of the bride. From 1927 to 1933, he sent him the first 30 times to a brother named Brother Otto Fetty. And then from 1937 to 1994, he sent him another 90 times to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves, for a total thus far of 120 times. Now, you would say, well, is that all he's going to send him? No. He's going to continue to send him until the work is finished after this pattern. Well, you say, who is he sending to him now? Well, thus far, no one right now. But amen. But the word of God that he brought thus far, those 120 times, is still valid today. Amen. As I said before, I had a chance to meet. I didn't get to meet Brother Otto Fetty. He had passed when I came to the Lord. But I did get to meet Brother W.A. Draves, who the Lord has sent his angel to those thus far last 90 times. And once again, I have to say, a truly, 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 truly humble brother. And I had got a chance to go into his home where the angel of the Lord appeared to him those many times. And I have to say that, you know, when you walk into his home and just standing there, you sense the peace of the Lord in the place. And I knew, yes, the angel had, angel of the Lord had been there, because the peace of God was there. I mean, it was there. Okay, so I thank God for the 4 years that I did, you know, come to know Brother W.A. Draves. Now, I need to say unto you tonight, as I go into the message or the lesson tonight, titled "Laboring in Macedonia / Berea." And for those of you who've been listening to me the last two nights, I've been coming from the word of God concerning laboring in Macedonia. And I told you that the Macedonia will represent a place that the Lord is going to specifically send you to labor in through a dream or vision. Now, I don't want you to get this confused to thinking that that's the only way that God is going to specifically send you, is that you got to have a dream or a vision. God can give it to you in your spirit. But here, the word of the Lord is dealing with tonight, this Macedonia, representing this place specifically. When you look in what? That's the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul and Silas was out on their travels of labor. And remember, Paul had got a vision of this man and was telling him to come to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul and Silas endeavored that it was the Lord that had given them that vision. Okay? And so they went to Macedonia. And Macedonia, which is known as a mountainous country, has certain parts to it. And one of the places they went to was Philippi, which is, I think it's on the eastern part of Macedonia, one of the cities there. They went to another city that's part of Macedonia called Thessalonica. And tonight we're going to talk about another place they went to that was called Berea. Berea. And I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's spelled B-E-R-E-A, Berea. Now, before talking on that, we must understand that the Lord has, through his angel, the Elijah, not only is it shown in the Bible, the word of God in the Bible, but through his angel, the Elijah, have commissioned his for all to labor. For all to labor. Now, you said, well, how do we know this? Well, I'm going to read to you a verse out of what is called Message 54, which means it was the 54th time that the Lord sent the Elijah with a message for mankind, a day that would be of the bride. And he sent this message out March the 9th, 1942. And remember, the angel of the Lord comes at the appointed time of the Lord, so he couldn't just choose a time to come and bring this message. He had to come at the time Jesus told him to come. In other words, as many times he has said in the word of the Lord in these messages, he many times say, I come from the presence of the Lord. So therefore, he comes from standing directly before the presence of God. And when God gave him the message, then God told him to go. Then that's the time he were to come. Once again, we must understand this, that angels is not on our, quote, beck and call of our appointed time schedule. We must remember that. He's just an angel of the Lord is just not going to come, quote, whenever we just want him to come. And we want him to come at 8:30. He got to come at 8:30. That's not happening. The angel of the Lord, rest assured, if an angel of the Lord appears to you, he comes at the appointed time of the Lord. And therefore, you have no worry, or don't have to worry about talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, your angel told me yesterday, and God cut you off and said, say what? When? I mean, I didn't know that. You don't have to worry about God saying that, because he came when God sent him. Amen. Now, going back to the question, how do we know that Jesus have commissioned his people to the sending of Elijah for all the labor? Well, in this message that's called Message 54, I want to read this verse to you, and I pray that you give me your undivided attention. And that what I read to you, that, hey, if you say, well, I don't know if that's from the Lord through an angel or not, hey, God is still alive and well, you can ask him. Amen? Praise be to God. But this is what he authorized the angel to say. And the word of the Lord said, let all labor that can, that the work may go on in all parts, but see that all preach and teach the same thing as is found in the Bible and the record of the Nephites, as I told you. So he said, let all labor that can. Now, once again, I want to say this once again, that we thank God for being able to go on Facebook, YouTube, and like we're on here, internet radio. Thank God for it. But however, we must understand something. These are instruments or vehicles that God can use us to deliver the gospel, to touch people all over the world, okay, and to get to them faster. But however, this is not the setup to replace total footwork in laboring, okay? We must understand that. In other words, if it got to a point, and it's going to get to a point, people, that true believers are going to be denied access of Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, all of this, the truth of the matter, that time is going to come. But when that comes, that don't mean we just sit at home and fill our thumbs. We have to get out there and carry that word. If the disciples in the days of old, the disciples of Christ, had to get out there, whether they were riding donkeys or riding horses, and many times doing footwork to carry the gospel message across the world, then guess what? We have to do the same thing. Amen? Praise be to God. And God will provide the means for us to get where we need to go. Amen? Praise be to God. So God said, let all labor that can. Hallelujah. Let all labor that can. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Some of you that are listening, and notice he said, let all labor that can, because some people may be burdened with the cares of life and may not be able to move at this particular time. But however, there are some of you that are listening. You have doors open. Or in other words, you're not burdened with the cares of life, and you can go forth. Amen. I know, not going to get a whole bunch of hallelujahs off of that. But however, I say that to say this, that some of us who are professing to be disciples and followers of Christ are doing nothing. We're doing nothing. We're sitting at home, we're filling their thumbs, and we're talking about, hey, I'm a disciple of Christ. But we don't have the concern of getting this gospel out to the lost souls. Well, guess what? Everybody is going to be held responsible of the work of the Lord that they're supposed to do. Amen? There will be no exemptions, per se. Do you hear what I'm saying? So, therefore, God wants you to know that, hey, if you continue to sit there and you thinking that, the Lord loves me and he understands and I really ain't got to go out there, well, then you keep being misled by that, by your thoughts or by the devil injecting these thoughts, but reality check is going to soon. Amen. Praise be to God. I remember as I give this short testimony, as I go into the message that back here a few years ago, I saw that, hey, I wasn't doing anything in the Lord. And, you know, it got to a point I thought on. I said, man, this don't make no sense. And I became convicted. Okay. Amen. I became convicted. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the title of this message, once again, is Laboring in Macedonia. And I want to give a brief outtake, an outlook, or give you a brief understanding of what I mean by laboring in Macedonia. Once again, Macedonia represents the place that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to send you specifically to labor through a dream or a vision. I take this to you going back to Acts chapter 16, where Paul and them in their laboring of the gospel, Paul had received a vision that a man had come to him, beckoning him or telling him, come over here and help us. And Paul and them said, hey, we took this as being a vision from the Lord. So what did they do? Up and about their father's business is the way they went to go. Some of you that is listening to me now, God have shown you a dream or vision of a place specifically that he wants you to go labor. Now, some of you that have seen this dream or vision, you have been procrastinating. You have been putting it off. You have been letting other things be in front and all that. Hear this. Repent and be about your father's business. If not, God will find somebody else. And you do not want to be replaced when God had called you to do a specific task. Amen. Praise be to God. Some of you who have gotten this dream or vision, you may have been wondering, okay, is this from the Lord? Well, perhaps God is using me tonight to give you a confirmation that, yeah, it is from the Lord. Listen, we are told to labor all we can, and many times we have to step out in faith. But there are going to be some specific places that God is going to give you specifically to tell you to go forth and labor. Amen. Praise be to God. So, on that note, as Paul and Silas was traveling, laboring with the word of God, once again, they went to Macedonia, and there are different parts in connection with Macedonia, different cities. They first, after they got the vision, went to Philippi, and we talked about what they encountered in Philippi. And so from Philippi, all of a sudden, now they're still traveling after they did the work there, and they go on to the city of Thessalonica. Now, and in Thessalonica, we talked about, or we looked at yesterday, what they did there in laboring the word of God, and also what they encountered. Because, see, here's the thing about the Lord in this message that he had me to give, that not only is he telling you about you're going to go to places, but he wants you to know what you're going to face. Amen? Praise be to God. So they brings us to the point that as Paul and Silas, once again on their laboring and traveling, they went to Berea. They went there to labor with the word of God. Now, and I'm about to say something. They didn't go there to have a good time. Now, I'm not against people taking some vacations or something like that. But listen, when you're spending more downtime on the me time instead of being about your father's time, then guess what? There's a problem. I said again, when you're spending more downtime on the me time instead of being about your father's the time of your father and your father's business, there's a problem. Okay? So Paul and Silas went to Berea to labor. And while they went, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, okay? Hallelujah. How do we know this? Let's go back to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 10. And remember, this is after they had went to Thessalonica, and after they had preached the gospel, and Paul began to reason with them out of the scriptures concerning Christ, not about himself, not about, quote, his church, okay, but about Jesus. And it got to a point that he convinced some that some had believed, but there was others who didn't believe, and they was moved with envy to a point where they got some other evil folks to get together with them. And here they are coming to a man's house named Jason, who they knew that Paul and Silas had been there at some point. And their purpose was to come there and physically take a hold of Paul and Silas and bring them out of there. But however, when they came to the place, they did not find Paul and Silas. And therefore, we get to verse 10, where the Bible said, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Just like he did when he came to Thessalonica, the Bible tells us when he came to Thessalonica, he went into the synagogue of the Jews. And it said, and Paul, that was his manner, it was when he went into them. This is what happened in Thessalonica, that three Sabbath days, he began to reason with them in the scripture concerning Christ, that Christ needed to suffer and to be risen again, amen, and that he pointed out to them that this Christ, the Messiah, is this Jesus, amen. So therefore, now he's in Berea, and he's going into the synagogue of the Jews, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, once again, this is also dealing with some of you. As I told you about this Macedonian, it's going to be given a dream or a vision to go to that specific place. And in that area of this specific place, it's going to be like a Berea, okay? And you're going to be sent there to witness to the people who had the same beliefs as some of the others that you left from another city in witnessing to. Now, you said, what do you mean? Well, notice that he came to the synagogue of the Jews here in Berea. Before, when he was in Thessalonica, where did he go? To the synagogue of the Jews, of the ones that was for the crucifixion of Christ, who did not believe that Christ was the true Messiah. They didn't even believe that he was God. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And see, this Berea that many of you are going to be sent to, you're going to be sent to people who have some of the same beliefs. When you look at Islam, Islam don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to be sent to these people to witness unto them. Okay. Hallelujah. See, even though we see these people are in this, quote, other religions and stuff, unless God say it's no help for them, you can't write them off. You can't write them off. You can't just say, well, he's a Muslim, ain't no help, ain't no need to talking to him about the gospel. No, you can't do that. Understand this, God is going to send you to these type of people, okay? Oh, my God. I know some of y'all think you're going to go to the people who got the open arms and say, come here, let me hug you. I'm sorry. You're not, everybody you're going to be sent to is not going to be, quote, like that. Amen. Hallelujah. See, in Christianity, I don't know where we got this from, but we have gotten this thing where that we think that we're going to be on the bed of roses, and we're going to go to the people that just, we're going to be sent to the people that just likes us. Listen, even those who are the vilest of the sinners, so forth, God wants them to have a chance to hear the gospel. He wants them to have a chance to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. This is why you got, listen, this is why I really respect, once again, got great respect for the missionaries, okay, that is going across seas. Not only because they're leaving, many of them are leaving family here and all that, but they're going into some places where their life is on the line. Now, some of y'all here, I'm not trying to scare you, because understand that whatever we suffer here for Christ, the reward he got for us is greater. Amen. And I'm not saying that everywhere God's going to send you, you're going to be physically killed. Okay. Everybody's not going to be physically killed. Some may suffer physically, like you see the apostles and the disciples did, as you read in the word in the Bible. Many of them was beaten for what? Preaching Christ's name. Amen. This is why Jesus is getting you prepared right now. Okay. But see, we're wasting time because we're caught up in other things, and we have made other things more important than Jesus. And see, when the time do come, you won't be ready. You won't be ready. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, these Jews that Paul went to in Berea were different than the Jews that Paul went to in Thessalonica. Amen. Once again, you said, well, how do we know that? Let's go back to Acts chapter 17. Look at verse 11. Amen. And the word of God said, as it connects to verse 10, when it says that Paul and Silas went into the synagogue of the Jews, in verse 11, he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble. And let's stop there for a minute. And let's look up that word noble. I want to look in the concordance here. And I'm turning in my concordance right now to see what does the word noble, what was the original Greek word there? Amen. For noble. Look it up in the Bible, in the concordance here, 2104 in the Greek. And I want to give you what it means in the Greek. The original Greek word for the word noble there was eugenes. And eugenes means well-born, that is, high in rank, or figuratively, generous. So he was saying that these Jews in Berea was more generous than the Jews of the synagogue in Thessalonica. Okay? So that's one of the things that we see is different from between the ones that he labored the word of God to in Thessalonica versus the one he labored the word of God to in Berea. So the ones in Berea was more noble or more generous than the ones in Thessalonica. What else made them different? Verse 11 says, not only were they more noble than those in Thessalonica, but that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. So I want to look up readiness in the concordance here. Amen. R-E-A-D. Readiness of mind. 4288 in the concordance. And I want to give you what it means in the Greek. The original Greek word, prophthumia. For the word readiness, prophthumia means predisposition, that is alacrity, forwardness of mind, readiness of mind, ready, willing mind. So they had a willing mind, okay? So the Jews at Thessalonica apparently didn't have a willing mind per se at that time, but the ones here in Berea, readiness, had a willing mind, and get this, and search the scripture daily whether those things were so. Do you hear that? Now, this goes to say that, once again, on your journeys, there are going to be some places that God's going to send you to specifically that you're going to have to really reason out of the scriptures with the people. Remember in Thessalonica, among the Jews there, that Paul, three Sabbath days, okay, had to reason with them out of the scriptures by Christ. So he had to really kind of come with it. And through that, some of the Jews believed. Now, when he gets to Berea, the Jews there had a readiness. They had a willing mind. And then here's something else they did. They searched the scriptures daily. Daily means every day. Whether those things were so. And verse 12 said, therefore, many of them believed. Glory to God. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. See, they're going to be some on your laborings and traveling that God's going to send to. They're going to have a readiness of mind. They're going to have a willing mind. And see, you know what really shows me how more definitely in dealing with people coming to the Lord is that not only when they have a ready mind, but when they search the scriptures daily for themselves. You know, some people just want to, you know, to be honest with you, just want to hear you talk. Let's be real about it. And even when you give them scriptures, they don't go look it up. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people you're going to just preach the word to, and they're going to hear it, and they're going to accept the Lord and believe. But see, others also definitely going to believe, not only what they hear that you speak to them about, but they're going to go and look it up themselves. Amen? This is what made these Jews different. And so you don't know what God was doing and working on their heart at that time. You didn't know what God brought them through that caused them to become, to have a readiness of mind, a willing mind. Because, see, sometimes people's hearts, you know, people are different. Some may have a heart for truth and may be just deceived. And others may just, you know, take anything, okay, but come to time to have a heart for truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? So understand this, it's not that all the time you're going to face boom after boom after boom constant hardships, but you are going to face some hardships at this place that God is going to send you through the vision or dream that he's going to give unto you. But rest assured, on your journeys, you will come across a place where there are going to be people who's going to have a willing mind, and it ain't going to take you much to kind of keep coming at them with the scripture, because here's the thing. This is why you got to know the word, people. You're not going to be able to come to them with no anything, okay? That's why God is trying to prepare some of you right now in the word, but once again, you to let everything from your job to your kids to your husband to your wife to your friends and everything be above getting prepared for Christ, and you're talking about, I'm a disciple of the Lord, and I'm going out to do work for the Lord. Well, you don't know the word of God. You should be knowing it, but you don't. And so when you get out there, what are you going to tell the people? You think you're going to give them lip service all the time? No. Let me explain something to you. Remember, I shared with you that in the part where he went to Philippi, and the Bible let us know that he was there certain days. So he just didn't go in there and leave out, okay? And some of you thinking you're just going to say a word to some people and just go. No, it's not going to happen like that. And see, when they start asking you specific questions, now get this, can nobody answer every question there is? I don't care who you are. But there are going to be some things as a Christian, and especially as long as you being a Christian, you should know, okay? And you think that some of these people with the who have this readiness and willing mind ain't going to be able to pick up that, hey, you don't know what you're talking about? I had to put it like that. Amen. I mean, you can throw up numbers to them all you want to. I've been a Christian 12 years, okay? But if you've been there 12 years and you still on the milk, or you ain't even started drinking the milk, there's something wrong. And you think these people ain't going to pick it up, and then what? You think, well, you don't know what he's talking about. That's going to be the first thing they're thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, this is why God has been trying to prepare many of us in the Word. But once again, everything else that we consider, quote, dear to our heart, has taken the forefront. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at verse 13. Once again, some more trouble. You know, the word of the Lord let us know that, you know, you're going to have on one side the power of God that's going to help. Then on the other side, you're going to have the power of the enemy that comes to destroy. And whenever and whatever place you're in, or especially being sent to labor at, you can rest assured that some evil is going to try to arise, okay? So, in verse 12, Paul and them, first of all, verse 13, rather, we see that Paul and them has been blessed with some success in laboring with the word of God, because now you got many of the Jews that believe, and also some honorable women, respectable women, okay, which were Greeks, and a man, not a few. Thank God for that. Well, verse 13 said, but when the Jews of Thessalonica, now notice how the Bible took you back to the other city of some particular Jews. You think that, you was like, okay, I thought they left all that. We in Berea now. Oh, well, wait a minute. It said, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge, the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Listen, there are going to be some people, when God sends you to these places, there are going to be some people that you once ministered the word of God to who rejected it, who's going to be used of the enemy to try to come up and stir contention against you. Now God is giving you fair warning. Okay, to be watchful. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all, that has happened to y'all probably already. You try to minister to some people about the word of God. They didn't accept it. They rejected it. And just like these Jews of Thessalonica, they became envious of you, jealous of you, and started getting some stuff stirred up against you. So now you went to another place, and you're ministering to the other people, and now those same people of the past, they didn't hear and got weird that you're speaking. And then now they come up. You know, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen in my walk in Christ. When, you know, I've tried to minister the word to someone, they didn't accept it, they rejected it, and start, you know, coming up against me. And then when I minister to someone else, they end up walking up. And I instantly know in my spirit what they're trying to do. Sometimes they'll walk up and they won't say nothing right then, but they're ready to say something. Then at a moment, they'll wait, and then all of a sudden they'll jump in there and say something, and it's always something contradictory because Satan wants to get contention started. Amen. And so therefore, that's what you're going to face. Even when you have that degree of success in the Lord, Satan is going to stir up some people that perhaps you have once ministered to, who did not accept the word of God, okay, who rejected it, move with envy against you, try to get people stirred up against you. When they get wind, oh, yes, Brother Nate, oh, okay, what, that Nate preaching that word over there, huh? Uh-huh. And they're going to come over there specifically, not come to see you, or welcome you, or wish you some good fortune, as they say, but come to stir up contention and strife. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But rest assured, God got you. God got you. Labor in Macedonia, Berea. Hallelujah. I pray that many of you are listening, you hear this message. Because God wants you to know that on your laboring travels, once again, this Macedonia is representing this specific place that he's going to send you to. Not necessarily a literal Macedonia. It can be wherever. This specific place that he sends you to. And this area that will be like a Berea, where he sends you to minister to. There are going to be people that you're going to minister to there who at first, they didn't accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And no doubt believe that, hey, I can worship God. I don't have to accept this Jesus. But then when you begin to preach Christ to them and what Christ did and what Christ had to go through for them, amen, that Christ didn't do it, quote, merely for himself, but for them, oh, my God, hallelujah, especially when they have a readiness of mind. Because like I said, some people's heart are honest toward the scripture. You know, some people really want truth. Even though they may be going down a wrong path or in error, some people want truth. And when they get that truth, man, it's just like, man, you know, you ever gave a little baby, little child, you know, something when they're hungry, you see how quick they take it and start eating on it? Well, you got some people like that who's hungry for the truth. Amen. And see, God is going to send you to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God for the word of the Lord today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just wanted to give you that word today from the Lord. Amen. Very important. Once again, as I said it to you before, that you really hear this. Okay? Because God wants you to know concerning what he's doing, maybe in your life personally. Like I said, some of you that's listening, you may have already experienced something like this, that where you were sent to specific places, you saw in a dream and vision, and you know, you knew it when you woke up. First, number one, you knew it from God, and number two, you knew it was a place that God wanted you to go to. Amen. See, some things God called out specifically. He would even call the place out specifically. You know, it made me think about the dream I had when I was working at a place called Fleetwood. And I was praying to the Lord that day because I was sensing that it may have been time for me to go on. I had been talking to different people on that job about the word of God. And I don't know how to fully explain it to you, but there's sometimes there come to a point when you're in certain places, you're going to know in your spirit that it's about time to go, that you did all you could do there. And I remember one weekend, I went to do a denial before the Lord that weekend, that Saturday and that Sunday. And I went on a fast that Saturday for like, I think I went 9 hours. Like 6 to 3. And so that next day, Sunday, I went like 8 hours from 6 to 2. And I remember that Sunday night, because I was talking to God about, you know, going to another job, working on another job, because like I said, I felt like I'd come to a stop there. And plus, you know, on a job, I was just sensing that, hey, it may be time for me to go. And it's amazing for the first time, or maybe I'll put it this way, the second time in my Christian walk, because one time he showed me I was going back to Fleetwood after I worked there once before. He showed me the place. But this time in this dream, I when I dreamed about going to another job, it was, and let me see how can I explain this. I was told in the dream by someone, I don't know whether it was an angel or the Lord was directly talking to me, that this job that I was going to go to, I'm going to take a test. But don't worry, I'm going to pass the test. Now, didn't tell me what kind of test it was or anything, but told me, don't worry, you're going to pass the test. But in my spirit, in the dream, and get this, even when I woke up, I knew the place I'm working at now is called Hunter Engineering. It was Hunter Engineering, straight off. I think he even said it to me in the dream. And that was the first time that that name, a name of a specific place that God wanted me to go to, was called out like it was. And I remember waking up from that dream in like amazement. And I had no doubt of the place was. I didn't wake up saying, Lord, I don't remember the place you got to show me. I knew when I woke up. And some of y'all, when it comes to laboring and carrying the word of God, there was a dream or vision God gave you and specific name, a specific place that you didn't have to ask God to, God, I don't understand what that place was. You got to reveal it to me. You knew specifically what that place was. And God showed you. And you knew God wanted you to go there. Amen. Sometimes, see, some things we have to seek God out about, and some things, and why I cannot fully tell you this, but some things that it's just a straight out done deal to you. I mean, boom, God just no cut, no corners or nothing like that. Boom, he just telling you straight out. Boom, this place right here. Boom, I want you to go there. Straight out, okay? Amen. So you know who you are. I mean, I don't have to call you up and say, is it you? You know who you are. Amen. Praise be to God. So I thank God for his word today. I thank God for the opportunity he's given me to share the word of God with you again today. And so before we close out this broadcast, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we've come to the end of the broadcast, but it's not the end of your word. And Father, we pray today, Lord God, to say that, Lord, that as I have planted the seed, that you will water and bring forth the increase. Help your people to understand the word that you're giving them to this day, today, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that everyone that has received that dream or vision has been about your business. And for those that are not, Lord God, I leave it up to you to stir up a light of fire under their feet in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, I give you glory and honor and praise, and I magnify you. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Thank God for his word today. Thank God for all you that have been listening. And once again, don't forget tomorrow night, Lord say the same. Friday night, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And also be joining them. Look for the advertisement on that. Praise be to God. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. God loves you. I love you. God bless you. God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.